Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram, the lead SEO strategist here.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is actually podcast number, do you know the number, Matt? Do you know the number?
Like it's 541.
Yeah. 141. That's a lot of amazing content that's out there. We hope that you have already subscribed, that you follow if you're watching us on YouTube, that you've subscribed and clicked the notification bell. We've hoped that you've done all of those things and would even ask that you share it with a couple of people. That would be really nice. Would you appreciate that, Matt?
Yeah, no, we're really looking at growing our YouTube channel. We've been hiring some people, and so we're taking it seriously. So we'd ask that you, follow us if you like it. And we're getting out there on some other platforms as well. So check it out. If you like to engage with video content and not just audio content, I know everybody mostly listens to it. So yeah.
Very, very cool. And Matt and I are coming off of a pretty exciting week. We actually flew some of the team in. We did some training, we did some team building, and then we did some more team building, and then there was a little more team building, and then there was some drinking that we called team building, and then like people.
There was your birthday. There was your birthday too.
it was my birthday. And then now that everyone's back at work, it's Monday. We're excited to have connected like that. You know, a lot of people are working remote, and really what we've found and what I've seen is that people really appreciate getting actually back together. That really, you know, cements a relationship, furthers the bond, and makes a team that's, you know, more cohesive and interested in delivering more value. So happy we were able to do that.
Yeah, for sure. It was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people we've been working with for a while, got to see them firsthand, and really planning out a lot of events. We are looking for great digital marketers. We're putting out a lot of job adverts right now. So go, if you're looking to maybe, be part of a team and you got some really strong skill sets you want to bring to the table, reach out to us. So, yeah.
Excellent. Now, we have a sponsor. This sponsor, and we mentioned him last time, this is actually part two of an article by Lily Lopez, Patif to Lily Lopez. The title of the article is 5 Design Tips to Create Landing Pages That Convert, with examples even. And you can find that at searchseranking.com. And they are actually our sponsor. So let's talk a little bit about their tool. They've got a keyword rank tracker. It's the most accurate and comprehensive tool of its kind on the market. You can bet on it. It tracks rankings from any location, any device, and any language in 5 search engines. And like I said last time, that's Google and YouTube and then 3 others. It does check data. They're listed here, but they don't matter. Checks day-to-day rankings in real time. I mean, unless you're actually tracking, you know, rankings on Yahoo, Bing, and Yandex. It checks day-to-day rankings in real time. It monitors Google Map results and 35 SERP features for any keyword. Again, 35 search engine results features, page features of on any keyword. It gathers data on both organic and paid search activity. It provides SERP snapshots, again, search engine result page snapshots. They store search engine results pages in the system so that you can go back and check them and actually see what those pages look like. And finally, for the more kind of enterprise level application, users can tag, group, and leave comments for convenient data organization if multiple team members are working. There is a special offer. Of course, we insisted for our audience that there be a special offer. If they go to bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking, that'll take you, redirect you to the SE ranking page. And on that page, normally you can get a free 14-day trial. In this case, you can use that link and we'll extend it out to 30 days for our listeners. If they're based in Ukraine, so, you know, if you're inclined to support people in Ukraine and everything that's going on there, this is one of the ways you could do that with seranking.com. Again, bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking. I don't know if you have.
I'm going to make sure that works. I don't know if I assign that as a task or not, but I know it is on the homepage. If you scroll down, you can click SE ranking and it'll take you to the sponsor page. Basically, it's like SE ranking /best-SEO-podcast-.html. So it's a little bit better to drive it through the ranking, but you'll get a full month with that. And this tool really is great. I've been using it a lot, and I like, you know, there's other tools that I definitely like using. And so I had to get into it a little bit, and I've really enjoyed it. Being able to get keywords based on location is certainly an issue if you're not typing in a geographic location after the keyword or before the keyword or whatever, but you can put, you know, coordinates or cities and stuff like that. And you can see, how those keywords are ranking in that area. And then really, Chris, you talked about it, is being able to track progress. That's big. That's big for clients. People like to see that. What direction are we moving? Is it moving up, down, sideways? What? Tool has a great interface, really user-friendly. And yeah, there's a lot of different things that it does. And it's super affordable versus the other tools. I know they're a European country. Yandex is certainly important, and more so maybe in other parts of the world. But it does a great job here, US-based. Really liking the tool, actually getting the team trained up on it. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity. There's a few other little components that are really nice. I really like looking at the competitors and the traffic analysis to really understand where the link flow is coming from different competitions. So this certainly is a tool that's updated. But again, the ranking tracker, where it's updating everything daily right now, I know some other tools are certainly a little bit lacking on the updates. So I would encourage you to go check it out. And after a full month, I think you'll see it. It really is a valuable addition to the, toolkit to do your SEO. Yeah.
The arsenal. Yeah. So I did just,
that was the word I was looking for.
Or now you can go to bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking. If you scroll down, you'll see sponsored by it. I'll just have you on our Best SEO Podcast landing page, but there's a link to SE ranking. Use that, and that'll take you to the page that you need to go to. All right, let's jump into this article by Lily Lopez. Again, go back and listen to our last podcast. That was podcast 540. That gives us the first really like mapping out the strategy. In fact, we'll start this podcast with now that we've covered the strategy and structure, again, go back and listen to that podcast. You want to make sure that visitors will be attracted to the visual elements of your landing page. And we're actually a little less concerned about them being attracted to the visual elements and more concerned about actually converting. Like, that's the purpose of a landing page. You want them to convert. Of course, you need to have a nice looking page, and it's got to have the right features. And we're going to like dig into some of those details.
Let me even share, Chris, while you're talking, because I know you, we were talking about this prior to the podcast going. So for anybody that's watching, you can see the little video. So I'll let you get into it, Chris, but I thought we'll add a visual aid to your.
Yeah, no, that's great. So you can see here, if you're watching, the first thing we're going to cover is videos. And there's about four or five, I numbered them out here, points about videos that we're going to talk about, different types of videos, and we'll talk about their relative importance. The first one, and you see an example on the screen, we'll describe it here in a second, is a background video. Landing pages with large hero background videos have become increasingly popular over the years. And what we're looking at is it's a yacht website that sells yachts, and they've got, you know, people tootling around on jet skis around yachts and shows some of the yachts that they have. I think this is okay. And it depends on how you land on this page, right? Like, what is the tool you're using, the mechanism you're using to get people here? Because maybe if it was a very technical ad, you don't need to show this lifestyle stuff. You need to just show the ads. We actually pulled up another Bertram Yachts or something that Matt mentioned, and we pulled that website up. And the first thing that was on that page was just a static image of the yachts, or the from boat to yachts that they do have. And that can like check off the box. So it really doesn't matter. I went in and did a little bit more research to understand, okay, like, what is the consensus on this? And I think there's not really a consensus that these videos we know can be impactful, but we know they have the possibility of being a distraction. And I think if you make that background video with the understanding that it's got to be adding to the message, you can't ever have it distract from the conversion. It's going to make you end up with something that is, one, going to be shorter, and two, going to be in line with the content that's on the page. I don't know if you had anything to add, Matt.
Well, you know, if you do use video, the full screen video, which it does denote kind of high end, right? The clip's got to really be compressed quite a bit. I would encourage you to use a shorter clip because it is going to slow down the core web vitals of the website. It's not going to load as quickly. And in that experience, based on the connection that they're waiting on, might not be the best experience, right? It might just be like a, you know, black screen or something like that. So you need to think about how it's all going to load based upon, you know, different, like mobile friendly, right? So different devices, as well as different speeds of internet connection. And so these are things to consider. Also, I think this website in particular, like I do like the drone shots. I think drone shots certainly add to what's going on. Discover or explore, discover, live. Again, I don't know enough about what they're trying to push, but making sure that the videos, like you said, share that right message. So this is maybe less luxury and more kind of, I don't know, fun. Because there, I mean, it's, you don't even actually know if you get jet skis with it. Maybe it's like part of the offer. I'm not sure. There's a lot of like jet skis going on in this video as well. But yeah. but it does feel premium. It does feel high end, and you got to have a trade-off balance. We were dealing with a nice high end video on the homepage as well, and we were just trying to speed up the site, and we did a lot of different things. And what we ended up going to was a faster load slider based video. If you go to ewrdigital.com, you can check it out. But there's different ways to get there. But what you're wanting is to attract eye movement and get them engaged into what you're saying. That's really the goal, is what's the next action step? Typically, even on these buttons, right? I would have like, what are you trying to get them to do? And maybe have one button filled in so you're directing them to take some kind of action. It would be mine.
And I also think what we're looking at, you did mention, was like lots of jet skis. It wouldn't surprise me if they sell them, right?
Yeah.
It also wouldn't surprise me if they've just made a mistake and they don't actually sell them and they're trying to sell the lifestyle. Does everybody who likes to go out on yachts like to jet ski? Like, that's some piece of data where we talk in the previous podcast where you've got to understand that target market. And if it is true that one of the most enjoyable things people do and do enjoy when they have a yacht is the jet skis, then this little video is probably great. Perfect.
But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe the jet skis come with it or something. Yeah. Like they drop down. I'm not sure. It looks like charter, purchase, sell, manage, build. That's kind of cool. Build your own yacht. That's
yeah. Cool. All right. Let's not digress. All right. So that's a conversation about background videos. Next is explainer videos. And she describes them as introduce your brand, what problem your company solve. I think any time that they're saying introduce your brand is probably not the right thing on a landing page, right? Because you're trying to be hard hitting, fast. People ultimately don't care about your brand unless it's the only thing that matters, right? So if you're selling a super high end shoe and the fact that your brand's on the shoe is the only thing that matters, then yeah, you might want to introduce the brand. But if you're selling a solution, some sort of solution, you got to sell the solution more than you got to sell the brand. The brand is just a side effect, right?
They want to know what about them? Like, what pain point are you solving, right? That's typically what people are looking for. How does it affect me? And so I think explainer videos, where if you need a long form explainer, and really the data is saying, and I actually tested this out this weekend, Chris, 7 seconds you lose most people. Literally,
were you testing
seconds.
It on yourself?
What?
What is my attention span? Oh, I got distracted by counting.
Yeah, no. In my book, I talk about a Microsoft study. 7 seconds is the attention span of a goldfish. That was actually back in like 2013. I think it's gone down since then. If you're talking about
the goldfish has a shorter attention span now,
right? And that's why like TikTok does so well and everything. But you really got to grab their attention. get them hooked, and then, you know, introduce them to some form of long form content if your message is complicated. But it's,
yeah,
it's tough. But explainer videos do a nice job if you're trying to get something out and beyond a soundbite.
Well, and especially if what you're selling, what you're trying to get people to engage with, is like, this is so much of a better solution than what you used to do. You can start off with the headache that they used to have. And thinking of kitchen implements and, like, you know, scrapes and cuts and whatever. And then you've got the solution that is super easy, 1/10 the time, easy to clean. That's a powerful explainer video.
So Chris, it's interesting. So I was watching some TED Talks this weekend actually as well. And one of the TED Talks was talking about how to sell something and where that perfect balance is based on the data. And it's really the balance between novelty, right? Pushing new, and then familiarity. And it's that intersection where it's a reiteration of something familiar, but it's new, right? So you're getting a little bit of best of both worlds. Think about all the popular movies. There was even a study, I think it was with Spotify, where they would like show you different songs, and the algorithm had a little, bug in it that would show old, like other songs or more kind of classical songs in there as well, like one or two times. When they took that out, where it was just all new songs, the tool didn't get used as much. So there was so much more engagement when there is a little bit of a seed of familiarity. And really what it talks about is that intersection between familiarity and novelty is the sweet spot when you're trying to sell something new. I just thought that was interesting.
It's cool stuff. You got to have that balance. All right. So number three, a promotional video. Again, great for driving brand awareness, product services in an attractive way, and convey their value to your audience. Okay. So the last piece, convey the value to your audience. Yes, I would say just driving brand awareness in general, that's a no. Like that's not even in the yacht, right? That may be a well-known brand in the realm of yachts, but you first want to push that experience, what people are looking for, the prestige, not that it's XYZ yacht.
And it depends how much money your brand has, right? Yeah. You want to think about the entire funnel of where you're using these videos and where you're targeting people along the customer journey, because a lot of people are focused on the very top of the funnel, and you know that could be a drop in the ocean. And so you really want to think along the ways where you want to introduce your brand into solving that person's problem, or what the solution that the person's looking for, and why they might click on the ad or the video, or where that placement is made, I think is really quite important.
I mean, that's very true, because this is a video on a landing page, and that landing page, I'm initially thinking mostly in terms of like top of funnel, but if you're middle of funnel and now you need to kind of build up the brand, like a yacht is not an inexpensive purchase. And now you need like, hey, this company has been around for 50 years. There's, you know, people with 300 years of experience. If you combined experience, like those are things that you might want to start pushing in the middle of the sales process.
I like that.
All right. Brand videos. Again, I initially kind of labeled this as you don't really want to spend it. But again, it depends on where this landing page fits in the sales process. In general, I think the goal would be to try and get that conversion faster. And it's more solution driven and less brand driven. But that depends on the particular product process, sales process, et cetera.
Yeah. I just think you're trying to trigger emotions.
Yeah.
And I think that with the brand videos, more than anything else, you're trying to connect with people. I mean, think about Coca-Cola, Chris. What does Coca-Cola sell?
It's a cute teddy.
Happiness.
Cute bear.
Happiness. What does like Budweiser bear. Sell? What does Budweiser sell? Hanging out with your buddies. Like, yeah. I mean, they're selling a feeling. They're selling emotion. They're selling a connection, right? And so that's been big with storytelling, and storytelling so key. So these brand videos are meant to, engage with people, whether it's increasing their serotonin or norepinephrine levels or the oxytocin to connect with people. Like all these ads are meant to do something. And you got to think about, again, where it is in the customer journey, where it is in the funnel of what they're trying to do. But I've seen a really huge push right in storytelling with videos and ads and branded ads trying to connect with you on some level. So you have some kind of association with their brand, with this state of mind or being or desire, or want, or what have you. So
very cool. Yeah. All right. Next video. So this is number five, testimonial videos, a great method for nurturing leads who like to do their own research. I'm going to 100% agree and also disagree with that. Meaning, I think testimonial videos should be wherever you are on the sales page, on the sales funnel, should be on the page somewhere, right? So it might not be the lead off video. It might not be the thing that you're hanging your hat on, your initial hat on, but to have testimonial videos in a testimonial carousel, I think is probably paramount at any level, even if they're just talking about the brand or if they're talking about the yacht or they're talking about the jet ski, like that's something that's really powerful. I give that a yes, triple yes, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, no, I think testimonials are absolutely important. There's data to support that. And the most powerful testimonials are the videos. I mean, right now, having the text of like someone's first name and maybe some image or not image, not very powerful, right? You move down the sliding scale, and the most powerful videos are when someone states their name, what they do or where they are, their business, and how you specifically helped them. And you can read more into just the words, but the emotions, how they talk, and their genuineness, and that's going to influence and impact their decision making. And you need to have that to enhance, I guess, your trust building component. I know we launched our pro testimonial, our video tool during COVID, because we had a whole videography crew and no one wanted to interact face-to-face. We're like, you know, you have to capture these video testimonials. And here's a tool and here's a way to do it. And now with mobile phones and everybody has a video recorder right in the palm of their hand, there's no reason to not be getting video testimonials. It's so easy to capture. And we really encourage you to do it, because that is really what people want to see when they're at that stage at the decision-making process. So
yeah. Yeah, makes perfect sense. All right, next, product demo videos. So show viewers in more detail how a product or service works. I really feel like this is kind of the same as explainer video. I don't know what the differentiation is there. Again, yes to this. Again, if it's easy to consume, if it's easy to use, if it's an easy service to enlist in, and then you get a lot of value out of it and don't have to put much effort into it, those are product demo videos. You want to have those for sure.
Well, I think product demo videos are a little bit different than explainers. I think like the whiteboard videos is more a kind of explainer. You're kind of telling a story. The product demo is you actually see it, or you even might even be incorporating a testimonial into it, but you're seeing maybe the before and after, or if it's some, like I know with like makeup, right? Or something that you use, you know, they do those fast forward or time
elapsed. Yep.
Yeah. Time elapsed videos, and you're seeing the transformation, right? I think that's the biggest thing about product demos is you're seeing the transformation happen in front of you. And so it showcases whatever the product can do. And usually doesn't, I would say it probably has the person in it, or it animates the product maybe in some way. I don't know, but I like product videos. I think product videos are really powerful, and you bundle those with testimonials, and you can get some conversions for sure.
I think we definitely agree. Have the video, select that right video that speaks to the emotion, shows ease of use, shows how it solves the problem. And then that's something that you want to have, potentially multiples that you want to have. Like I said, the main one at top, which speaks to the problem and shows the solution, and then testimonials that show people who've experienced the solution. I think that's really valuable.
Yeah.
All right. So that's point one.
This article is just packed full of stuff. I mean, yeah. We had to do a whole nother article just to like tee this thing up.
Yeah.
And then now we've basically gone through some real education on the video standpoint. So this is a very comprehensive article.
Absolutely. So now it's four essential steps in using videos and landing pages. And they're going to start off with write the script. Before you launch your video production, make sure you have a clear storyboard set up and a complete script written. Couldn't agree with that more. Again, tailor your script to the audience. Understand what their pain points are. Speak to that. Next, you're going to choose a thumbnail. So that's the image that encourages, if it's not an autoplay, it's the image that encourages them to click through like, hey, this is something that I'm going to find value in. Now, we talked about how from a content perspective, you might spend 80% of your time on the main title, another 15% of your time on the subtext, and then the 5% of your time, that's maybe a little exaggeration, but a lot of weight goes into the title. Same with the thumbnail. You got to have that right thumbnail that encourages them to select it. Next, optimize it for SEO. So thinking about SEO from the perspective of using the relevant keywords in the title of the video, the meta description of the video, the tags of the video. But remember, and a lot of people forget this, Google actually makes their own translation, right? So there's the translation of the video. So there's value in using those key SEO words in the beginning of the video, because that's going to give some weight to where it sits from an SEO perspective. Oh, yeah. And finally, and you touched a little bit on Web Vitals earlier, Matt, consider your core Web Vitals. One, keep your video as small as possible. Videos you embed directly into your site should be compressed, and background videos should not be looped indefinitely. Consider lazy loading if you have lots of videos on a page, right? So just show that thumbnail instead of the video. You don't want the page waiting until you load everything. In fact, Matt shared we had made adjustments to the EWR digital page because it was loading so slow, just based on that video running up on the front page.
You wanted that video to run first, right?
Yeah.
Now having the video run and maybe stopping it, I guess I can see that. But I think like the loop is, you know, like I think it can be distracting, but also, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of people that are having a video run and stopping it. So that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Actually, the first time I read this, I thought it have them looped indefinitely. And I think if you would go back to that, although what we were looking at on the screen earlier was probably just a GIF of that animation, maybe it wasn't the full video. I think looped indefinitely doesn't matter, because that's not going to affect your load time.
Well, you know, if you ended it right, where it like ended it to like two buttons and it's like select this or select this, I think you could really enhance the experience. So, I mean, that's just not something that I've seen, and we haven't done that, but that is interesting. So I love reading these articles and getting people's perspective and learning. And we haven't tried everything. So this could, I could see an experience where you have a short video, loads really quickly, and I'm thinking like some kind of like water, or it washes, right? And then when it's done, you got like two buttons and you can select where you want to go. You know what I mean? Like maybe I've seen it in like maybe games or something like that.
Yeah. Next, ensure the video is clear. So all users, regardless of their device and screen size, should be able to understand the video. Your videos have to be responsive and adjust to different screen dimensions with the proper ratio. So those are her points about your core web vitals, because those are the things that Google's looking at. Load speed, responsiveness, and visual stability. Very important.
Yep.
All right. So that's point one, videos. Now on to point two, minimal design. And I actually think she gave the appropriate weight to videos, because I think they are that impactful. And now we're going to talk about minimal design. A landing page doesn't need too many things on it to have an impact. So try to keep everything under the logic of less is more. It doesn't visually overwhelm a visitor when they first visit the page. You don't want that to happen. And this has two main benefits. One, it becomes optimized for speed. The leaner the content on the page, the faster the page is going to load. That's a great experience. Next, improve cognitive load. So this is just a fancy way of people's brains will understand what's going on much faster. If it's less complex, they're going to be able to understand it quickly. And then, you know, if they go because it's not for them, that's not a problem. But if they stay because it is for them, then you've actually accomplished the goal.
Well, you know, Chris, yeah. in one of those TED Talks that I was listening to, and then I also had some members on the team watch it as well. Five items, like more than five items. If you go from five to seven, it increases the cognitive load by 500%. And so,
yeah,
you don't necessarily want to do that. And even we talked about in the last podcast, like a reverse menu, like putting the menu at the bottom, trying to drive them into getting them to take the kind of action. And I mean, look at how successful, let's say, Apple's been. So you want to just make it simple.
Emulate that. Yeah. Yeah. So next is bold and oversized typography. So large typography is currently among the most popular font trends in web design. It's used to draw attention to key information or headlines. Designers usually avoid decorative fonts and instead go with neutral and simple scripts. And they give a nice example, super simple, super easy. It's actually from Zoom. Yeah.
I'll share my screen on that one really quick.
Yeah, so we can look at that. I think to revisit your point, I once heard somebody talking about, and they had this quote: "If you're giving a talk, if you say more than three things, you've said nothing." Which is to say, like you're talking about, you know, from five to seven increases the cognitive load. Really, when you're doing a presentation, keep it short and keep that's about reducing the cognitive load. If you say too many things, it just everything gets washed out. So it, really good idea.
I've heard that with statistics. You don't want to typically give more than one statistic or you lose people.
And then there, if you're on YouTube watching, you can see that there's an example of Zoom and a really simple and very large font. Yep. Next, we can debate. It's live chats and interactive elements. So live chat interactions allow you to connect with people faster and in real time to answer questions and persuade them to convert. I think there's value there. You just got to make sure that the chat is there only when it's being manned, right? Because I found the experience of like clicking a chat because I have a question and then it saying, no one's here, fill out a form. I just find that as, you know, not a good experience. Better to change it. So maybe like answer your question. So after hours, it's answer your question or submit a question. And then during hours when people are manning the chat, like chat with somebody live now.
Yeah. It certainly increases engagement. Also, I've seen the pages that rank better have some kind of interactive element to it, like some kind of widget or calculator or what have you. Works really well. I'm a big fan of chats. But yeah, if you're not manning the chat, it takes away from the experience. I think one of the things that I've started to talk about a lot more is when you're engaging with cold leads, like people don't really understand how to sell to cold leads. They think, you know, you're running some ads and a form comes in and, you know, 2 weeks later, I'll contact this lead and they're just going to be in a bow ready to buy, right? It's typically about 7 minutes. So when a lead comes in, you need to be contacting and engaging with them immediately or you're going to lose them. One of the best industries that really has got this figured out is the online education industries. And the data supports if you do not contact them when they're in the mode to try to like do whatever it is they're doing, you could lose them for another cycle and you got to wait till they get back in that frame of mind. And that is absolutely true. And it's something that should be focused on. And that's why I think chatbots really help, because you can get the sales process a lot further along and get them engaged sooner. Because if they submit a form and then you follow up with them, you might not even be able to get a hold of them because they're not in that frame of mind, or they might've gone down the list and already selected and moved on and you've already missed the lead before you got it. So.
Yeah. Timeliness is really important. All right. So number five, custom illustrations. And we've talked about this before, like having original content. You want to use something that's where you can visually communicate a variety of aspects of your offer, as well as being eye-catching and original. And then I would go back to what Matt said, both original and familiar is going to have some value there.
We are talking a lot and we're doing a lot with custom graphics now. I mean, if you think about it, even from an SEO standpoint, which we're talking more about a landing page right now, but everybody's using stock art. Yes, certainly high quality stock art's better, but we can spot stock art a mile away. I think almost everyone can. And people are looking for real images and genuineness. And there's a level of connection and interaction. I think it's about 3x when you have original images and also custom graphics. If someone's never seen it before or anything like it, they spend more time on it. It gets them more engaged and you can better explain, whatever it is you're trying to illustrate. So big fan of not just high quality images, but custom images. So.
Yep. And that really wraps it up. We'll wrap it up with always keep in mind that visitors look for a straightforward, relevant, and visually appealing landing page that can answer their questions quickly and easily. I would again add where you address the negative emotions, the emotions that you're going to solve in it, bring those up, have them kind of dwell on them, provide that solution, give them testimonials, give them how easy it works, potentially at the right stage. Talk to them about the history of your brand and the focus of your brand and maybe some of from the core principles of your brand, and then make sure you have them take action.
I like it.
Cool. So that's the article from Lily Lopez. Again, she wrote that article for SE Ranking, SERanking.com, and you can still take advantage of the special offer that we've been able to secure for you, the Best SEO Podcast listeners. Just go to bestseopodcast.com/SERanking and then scroll down the page and you'll see SE Ranking logo. Click that and that'll get you an extension from a 14-day trial to a full-on 30-day trial.
Yeah, and I will say I really do encourage you to go check it out. And there's other tools that I certainly like using. And what I've actually found is the more I've used this tool and understand it and understand how to navigate through it, which I said, it does have a good user interface. I'm really liking it. And there's a lot of really good data in there. They've really put their thought in. There's a number of things in beta that are excellent. And so not only supporting the Ukrainians, great tool. And I encourage you to go check it out at SE Rankings. And then our special offer will get you more time to really get in there, and you can set up projects and all kinds of stuff. So it's really great. So,
well, excellent. We're going to ask you, one, check out that tool; two, tell three people about this podcast. And if you're interested in growing your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call EWR Digital for increased revenue in your business. You can reach us at 713-592-6724. And at Best SEO Podcast, you can find, I think it's a profit plan. It's basically a way to communicate with one of our internet marketing specialists, deliver some value, and potentially kind of ease into some sort of an engagement that delivers value to your business. Unless you have anything else, Matt, Well, we're ready to wrap up. We appreciate all of y'all for making us the most popular SEO podcast. All of y'all for making us one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.